Blog Talk Radio.
Of our faith. Happy Sabbath, family. Pray that you have had a good day in Yah, that you have gotten the prescribed rest, and that you have eaten well in the Word of Yah. We are going to be doing the power of positive thinking on this evening. And, you know, the most I put this on my heart that we should start looking more positive toward His Word and in His kingdom and in our everyday lives. What we say, what comes out of our mouth is what manifests. And so, yeah, we want to always condemn sin, and you know, especially walking carnally before the Most High. But we also want to start speaking those things into the world and into our lives that are positive. So we're going to endeavor to jump into that today. I want to say Shabbat Shalom to everybody in Pal Talk Land and Blog Talk Land on the internet in general, wherever you may be, North America, South America, the continent of Europe, or in Africa, wherever you may be. We greet you in the master's name of Yeshua HaMashiach. Tomorrow, we will do the heave offering, 10 o'clock a.m. in the morning. So, you know, bring those, your first fruits. Doesn't have to be food. We are not agrarian. We don't grow our own food. So those things, however you make your living, whatever you want to heave before the Most High, we want to raise it to him. Most of all, bring yourself. We want to heave ourselves and raise ourselves to the Most High. Okay, and so we will be doing that tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock. Let us do our statement of faith. Let's see here. Where did I put it? Our statement of faith, and then we will pray in. So let me have the sisters to cover their heads. Brothers, uncover your heads. Let us all turn toward the east, toward Jerusalem at this time. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. It was a very good precept our brother did this morning. Concerning, you know, that the devil, he really is nothing. And if you make space for him, then that's when he has power in your life. But if you come against him or, you know, just do what the angel said, Yah rebuke you, then you don't have to worry about him having an effect in your life. But we want to start looking at those positive things in the kingdom on this evening. So our statement of faith. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. I believe all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 and 21. I believe there's one Elohim, according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah, according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I am a new covenant child of Yah, according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I am of the royal priesthood, according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah, according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I am a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us raise holy hands to the Most High Elohim. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercy. We thank you for life and health and strength today. We thank you for the opportunity to once again come together and to break bread and to observe your Shabbat, a day of rest that you have ordained that your people should keep perpetually throughout all time. Father, we ask that you will forgive us our sin, as we forgive those that have sinned against us. We ask that you lead us not into temptation, but that you deliver us from evil. We ask that you hold not the iniquities of our forefathers against us, for they are all gone by the way of the grave, and we are still yet here, seeking to keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments in spirit and in truth. Father, we ask that you will be here in this lesson tonight. We ask that Brother Miles decrease and that you increase. We have prepared a space for you, that you might come and that you might feed us. Father, for we are hungry for your word and we are thirsty for you. Father, bless Israel. Wake those that are asleep. Give them an unction to come and keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments. Bless those that are awake. Give them a meek and a humble spirit, the spirit of love, for you are love. Now, Father, as we go to work in the kingdom, we ask that you would smile upon this work and that you would give us favor in all that we do. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, I pray. Amen and amen. Let's go to 2 Kings. No, 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 8. I don't know why I always think this is in 2 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 8. if they sin against thee, for there is no man that sinneth not, and thou be angry with them, and deliver them to the enemy, so that they carry them away captive unto the land of the enemy, far or near. Yet if they shall bethink themselves in the land whether they were carried captive, and repent and make supplication unto thee in the land of them that carried them captive, saying, we have sinned and have done perversely, we have committed wickedness, and so return unto thee with all their heart and with all their soul in the land of their enemies, which led them away captive, and pray unto thee toward their land, which thou gavest unto their fathers, the city which thou hast chosen, and the house which thou hast built for thy name. Then hear thou their prayer and their supplication in heaven, thy dwelling place, and maintain their cause, and forgive thy people that have sinned against thee, and all their transgressions wherein they have transgressed against thee, and give them compassion before them who carried them captive, that they may have compassion on them. For they be thy people and thine inheritance, which thou broughtest forth out of Egypt from the midst of the furnace of iron, that thine eyes may be open unto the supplication of thy servant and unto the supplication of thy people Israel, to hearken unto them in all that they call for unto thee. For thou didst separate them from among all the people of the earth, and to be thine inheritance, as thou spakest by the hand of Moses thy servant, when thou broughtest forth our father out of Egypt, O Yah, Elohim. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear Elohim and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For Elohim shall bring every work into judgment, whether with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. May the Most High bless you to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and the more so doing of his word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen. Now let's give the Most High a hand clap of praise on today, on this evening. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you for today. Thank you for keeping us safe. Thank you for bringing us back together, God. Thank you for giving us a sound mind. And a mind to serve you, Father. Hallelujah. We just want to glorify and lift you up, Father, and worship you and you alone. And you and you alone are worthy of all worship. Hallelujah. We do not bend the knee to anybody or anything else. Hallelujah. So, God, we thank you. We thank you today for being our Elohim, for being, hallelujah, the greatest power there is in all eternity, Father. And we are so happy that you have chosen us to be your children and to be your people. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, God. Thank you, Father. Glory to your name. Glory. Glory, glory to your name. Glory to your name. All right. Amen. Let us go now. The Most High put this on my heart really during the night last night, and as I start thinking about, you know, us as a people, we really have to start speaking those things that we want to manifest in our life, that we want to manifest in the kingdom. And, you know, there's a scripture, I meant to get it. Let me get it now. While I introduce this particular lesson, we have to be very careful what we say. Let me get the scripture. Give me a hot second here. But we have to be very careful what we say. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 18, the book of Proverbs chapter 18. And, you know, there's a reason that the scriptures are telling us to be meek and humble, and to be loving and kind and merciful. Because what we say, we got to understand that the Most High has put something within us. And just as he created by speaking, we also have that same ability. And what we say, what comes out of our mouth, is what will manifest. Even if we can't see it, maybe we don't know what we're asking for. Maybe if you are confessing love and kindness and mercy and joy and those things on a daily basis, those are the things that you should see manifest in your life. But if it's hate and malice, covetousness and those types of things, then those are the things that you're going to see manifest. And so we want to make sure that of what we speak and that our thoughts are positive toward ourselves, toward other people, toward the kingdom, and that we believe that what we say is going to come to be. So if you believe that what you say is going to come to be, then you have to be very careful what you say. Okay, so we are in the book of Proverbs, chapter 18, and we're going to get verse 21. And life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. So life and death. You know, I don't know how much we believe this, and we're going to, you know, look at those scriptures too, because there's nothing that we should be saying or asking for that we don't believe. And we shouldn't, we shouldn't be asking for anything in doubt. But life and death is in the power of the tongue and everything in between. So what you say, what comes out of your mouth, have to be very cognizant of it. You have to pay attention to what you say. That's why the scripture said, let your yea be yea and your nay be nay. If you don't know what you're speaking, then you should speak very little. Because what we say about people, what we ask for, those things have a way of coming into being through our mouth, through our tongue. So if we are very negative, then we will cause negativity to manifest. There's nothing positive about sin. And so, yeah, don't get me wrong. And I'm going to always do my job that Most High has given me is to convict us of sin that we don't stay in it. But we have to speak positivity, positive thoughts. That's what needs to come out of our mouth because that's what's going to manifest itself. And if we speak negative thoughts, wicked thoughts, those too will also manifest. So we want to look at this thing. So remember, you have the power of life and death in your tongue. And when we speak to something, when we speak towards something, when we speak at something, when we speak to something, whatever comes out of our mouth, that is what eventually will manifest. And so we want to be very careful of that. And we want to, you know, start to think positive things all the time. We want to have that meek and that humble spirit. We want to check what we say. Because we do have this power. You know, and, you know, the Most High told us in James chapter 1. Let's go there real quick, and then we're going to get into something that's not so scriptural, but it is very relevant. Go to the book of James, chapter 1. God wants us to have this foundation and this understanding from the very beginning. And we're going to look at what Messiah says about this. Verses 1 through 8. James, chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. James, a servant of Elohim and of Yeshua HaMashiach, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. Greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you shall fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask Elohim, that giveth to all men liberally, upbraideth not, and it shall be given to him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. In other words, not doubting. For he that wavereth or doubts is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of Yah. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So when we take these verses and we apply them into our life, when we ask the Most High for anything, we have to believe. We have to ask without wavering, without doubting. We can't ask in a way that leaves it conditional, because it leaves it like it's a doubt. And the easiest way to do this is to ask as though it's already done. I believe that you're going to do this already, so I'm going to ask it in a way that it's already done. Then that doesn't leave that doubt. It doesn't leave that double-mindedness, that room for double-mindedness. It doesn't leave room for doubt, and it doesn't leave room for you to waver. If we know that the Most High, Messiah said, whatever we ask for, we're going to read those verses too. If we ask without doubting, he will do it. So we have to be thinking positively about what we are wanting. And we have to believe positively that he's going to do it. So our frame of mind from the very beginning has to be positive. I know that Yah is going to do this for me. And count it as being done. That's the power of positive thinking. Because whatever comes out of our mouth, whatever we ask for, the scripture has already said, if we ask without doubting, then we're going to get it. He's going to do it for us. He's going to move on our behalf. But if we doubt, he says, let that man, if you doubt or you waver, you don't truly believe that Yah is going to do what you're asking him for. Maybe you don't really want what you're asking for. But if you're asking, then you have to be asking without doubt in your heart, especially doubt of the Most High, that he is going to do whatever it is that you're asking him to do. Now, I pray that it's a good thing. You know, I pray we don't get into our anger, as he says, you know, he doesn't want us to, that's why he says he doesn't want us to be angry. He says you can get angry, but don't sin. We don't want to bring condemnation on anybody out of anger. So our thoughts have to be positive. When we are, I want to put a definition to two words before we get started in this. Two words, because we're told to do this a lot in scripture. Prayer and supplication. Okay? Prayer and supplication. The definition for prayer: a solemn request for help or an expression of thanks addressed to Elohim. But it's a solemn. You are serious. You are asking for help. You're not praying amiss. You're not asking amiss. You're not asking, when it's solemn, you know, you're sort of in a serious, you're in a serious frame of mind. And you're asking Elohim to do something. That's prayer. Now, we can praise, and that's to be, you can praise in prayer. You can do a lot of different things in prayer. But when we are going and we are making petition to the Most High for something, then we want to first believe what we're asking for, but we want to be serious about what we're asking for. We want to ask it in with solemnity, seriousness, and then supplication. You know, I had never really looked up the definition for this word until this morning. Supplication, because we're told to make prayer and supplication. And although it is a noun, supplication comes from the Latin verb supplere, which means to plead humbly. While a supplication is often thought of as a religious prayer, it is used 60 times in the Bible. It can logically be applied to any situation in which you must entreat someone in power for help or a favor. So to plead humbly, Prayer is a solemn request. If we put those together, then we're supposed to humbly plead with seriousness. So we mean what we're asking for. And we are praying in such a way that, you know, we're not praying amiss. We're not just, there's intent behind our prayer. All right, so let us move forward here. So with those two definitions in understanding, our prayers should be solemn. They should be, but they should be from a humble position. You know, the Most High doesn't have to do anything that for us that we ask. But he says, if we ask, and especially if it's for the kingdom, if it's for something that we truly need, he's going to answer it. But we also have the power of creation in our own selves, given to us by him. Messiah said, you shall receive power after that which the Holy Ghost has come upon you. So we have to watch what we say and what we pray for. You've heard the saying, be careful what you ask for, because you just might get it. It's true. So in our prayer, we want to make sure that we understand what we're asking for and that we're not praying amiss, that we're being serious about it and we're humble. And most of all, that we believe what we're asking for. Okay, because Most High has already told us, if you don't believe, if you're wavering, if you are in doubt, I'm not answering that, because you're not asking it out of faith and out of belief. Now, that doubtful spirit, whatever it may be, in negativity, and you know you probably shouldn't be asking for it. The Most High says, all right, if you come to me that way, don't even worry about it, because I ain't going to answer it no way. You won't get what you're asking for. But we want to do positive things this year in the kingdom. We want the Most High to meet us and to do for us and to answer our prayers. So when we do the heave offering and whatever we're asking for, we want to know in our heart of hearts that the Most High is going to do it, and that what we're heaving and what we're asking him to bless, that he's going to bless, and that he's going to multiply. And it's whatever, you know, I'm not telling you what to bring. I'm going to say this much. Bring yourself a living sacrifice, which is acceptable, your acceptable service unto Yah. And we're going to heave ourselves up to him, our lives, and ask him to bless them. Okay? So it doesn't have to be money or anything like that. But we want him to bless everything that we put our hands to, especially for the sake of the kingdom, for kingdom work. So positive thoughts. Let us go now to the book of Galatians, chapter 6. The book of Galatians, chapter 6, and let's get verse 7. The book of Galatians, chapter 6, and verse 7. Be not deceived. Elohim is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. He says, if you ask and you are humble and you're not doubting, whatever you ask for, he will give you. But don't think that you can mock him. Don't think you can deceive him. You see, you'll be asking for things, even your works. But whatever comes out of your mouth is what you're sowing. So we got to understand that, how you talk to people, what you say to them, what your conversation's about. When Messiah gave the parable of the seed, in the end, the seed was what? The word of Yah. That's what he was sowing. You are also sowing words, and they don't have to be the words of the Most High. So we have to understand this: whatever you sow, that shall you reap. So if you're reaping, if you're sowing evil words, if you're sowing wickedness, if you're sowing hatred, if it's not joy and love and hope and peace, if it's not long-suffering, if it's not humility, whatever it is that you're sowing, that's what you're going to reap, one way or the other. So, you know, we can't take the Most High. He puts it in there clearly. He's not going to be mocked. So we have to understand that the power that we're given, the Most High doesn't repent of it. He's not going to take it from you. And if you use it for wickedness, you're going to reap wickedness. He's not going to be mocked. So we have to understand that this is serious. So our best, you know, as I was laying in bed and I'm, you know, thinking about all the things that are happening in the world. And what are we putting out there? So our thoughts, our words need to be positive. So let's look at this act of positive thinking. Now, when we're saying thinking, when you're thinking, who are you talking to? Let's just put it where it really is. When you're thinking, you're talking to yourself. And positive thoughts are those thoughts that you have to yourself. And so if you have become accustomed to thinking negative, that is what will come out of your mouth. It all starts with your thoughts. That's why it's the precept is the power of positive thinking. Whatever's in your mind all the time eventually will come out of your mouth. And so let's look at this positive thinking. Understanding positive thinking and self-talk. Positive thinking doesn't mean that you keep your head in the sand and ignore life's less pleasant situation. Positive thinking just means that you approach unpleasantness in a more positive and productive way. You think the best is going to happen, not the worst. Positive thinking often starts with self-talk. What is that? Talking to yourself. Talking to yourself is the endless stream of unspoken thoughts that run through your head. These automatic thoughts can be positive or negative. Some of your self-talk or talking to yourself comes from logic and reason. Other self-talk may arise from misconceptions that you create because of lack of information. If the thoughts that run through your head are mostly negative, your outlook on life is more likely pessimistic. If your thoughts are most likely positive, you're likely optimistic. Someone who practices positive thinking. The health benefits of positive thinking. Researchers continue to explore the effects of positive thinking and optimism on health. Health benefits that positive thinking may provide include increased lifespan, lower rates of depression, lower levels of distress, greater resistance to the common cold, better psychological and physiological well-being, better cardiovascular health and reduced risk of death from cardiovascular disease, better coping skills during hardship and times of stress. Now, they don't know. You need to get by here. They don't really know why positive thinking has this effect, this real effect that they can measure on people. But it does. And the scriptures tell us to be, when we really look at the scriptures are telling us to be positive. But it wants us to be positive in a way that we are positive in a righteous way. that we, you know, you can be to a person that is wicked, it's almost reversed. The more for them positive is really what? Negativity. That's what they thrive on. But for a righteous person, positivity, positive thinking is righteous thoughts, good thoughts, things that are going to bring happiness to people, things that are going to bring joy to themselves, things that are going to cause you to prosper. The Most High does not want us here suffering. He doesn't want us here living a life of luxury where this is what all that we depend upon. But he doesn't want us to be poor and just, what's the word I want to use here, negative all the time. You know, always got a complaint. Nothing's ever going right for us. We're always suffering from something. So tribulation and those things that are used to perfect us spiritually and even mentally, those things are brought into our lives so that if we are weak in an area, to strengthen us. And we are even supposed to take those with what? Joy. Positive. So the Most High wants us to be very positive people. And he wants us to always to be speaking positivity into people's lives. Because when we do speak something negative, we have to mean it. Because that's what's going to manifest. That's why we have to be careful, because the power of life and death is what? In our tongue. So when we, on a daily basis, you know, we should be praying positive things into the world. We should be praying for the health and the well-being of even our enemies, our leaders, those that have the rule over us, our elders, our mothers, our fathers, our children, our aunts, our cousins, our nieces, our brothers and our sisters. We want to be positive. We don't want to be negative. We want to speak those things that speak life to them. And so we have to be very careful in what we do. So positive thinking has some positive health results for us. You know, when you are negative all the time, and when you are in a position where it always seems like, you know, you're speaking something negative, it can cause illness to come upon you. If in your heart things are always in a negative way, you can have heart disease. You can have other health-related illnesses. And they're coming because of your attitude. They're coming because there's nothing good for your body to hold on to, your spirit to hold on to. And so your spiritual wellness, if you're hanging around people who are always negative, then that's what's going to manifest around you. Negativity. And so you want positive people around you so that they don't influence you with negativity. When you're praying, you want to pray positive things. So that is what manifests around you, and that's what's going to manifest in your body. A lot of people are ill. They're sick because their thoughts are continually negative. They're depressed. It draws those types of spirits and those types of people. And that's what manifests. So we have to understand that, you know, I'm understanding what Messiah said. When you believe, if you have faith enough, that if you believe and you say to that mountain, get up and be removed, that mountain will be removed. It will manifest. You won't have to do it. It'll manifest itself because you put it out there. But you have to say it, what? Believing it. So when he cursed the fig tree, he told his disciples, you have this type of power too if you don't doubt. Now, cursing that fig tree really seemed like a negative thing. But really what Messiah was saying, you don't have what I need. I'm hungry, and you have no fig, so you won't produce any figs for us. But the fact that he spoke it, it came to be. And very quickly from him, the next day, the tree had withered up. And his disciples said, how did that happen? He said, it came from believing that what you say comes to pass. So he told them, if you say it without doubting, it will happen. That's powerful. So if we don't doubt, and we're not just talking into, you know, the wind, when you say something, it's supposed to manifest. This is what the word is telling us. So even in our own health, it will manifest. Let's continue. Let's do something here. Let's identify negative thinking, because sometimes what I found is we might think that we are a positive person, and really we have negative ways. Let's look at some of these. If you're not sure if your self-talk, the way you talk to yourself, is positive or negative, some common forms of negative self-talk. Filtering. What is filtering? You magnify the negative aspects of a situation and filter out all the positive ones. For example, you had a great day at work. You completed your task ahead of time and were complimented for doing a speedy and a thorough job. That evening, you focus only on your plan to do even more tasks and forget about the compliments you received. So you filtered out the good thing, and the only thing that you are really focused on is the way to get more what compliments. And if you don't get the compliments, then you're going to become what, very negative about it. Well, why am I doing that? Nobody appreciates what I do. But the positive compliments that you do receive, in your mind, you filter them out, and you only look at what you had to do to get them. And you go about trying to do more of that. Really, it's a way of seeking what, attention. But it's also a negative way of thinking. But you could have just said, thank you for appreciating my work that I did today and been happy with that. And just go about and do what you do. All right. What's another way of negative thinking? Personalizing. When something bad occurs, you automatically blame yourself. For example, you hear that an evening out with friends is canceled, and you assume that the change in plans is because no one wanted to be around you. If your mind automatically goes there, I don't know, they just don't want to be around me. They probably went out anyway. So you took something and you personalized it. And it may not be, it's probably the furthest thing from the truth, but you turned it into a negative. What's another way? Things that we want to stay away from. Catastrophizing or catastrophizing. That means you're going to always think of the worst. You automatically anticipate the worst. The drive-through coffee shop gets your order wrong, and you automatically think the rest of your day will be a disaster. So you let something negative make you change your whole mindset, that because this one thing negative happened, the whole rest of your day is going to be negative. Something we want to stay away from. polarizing. You see things only as either good or bad. There is no middle ground. You feel that you have to be perfect or you're a total failure. Now, we know that there's degrees of everything. And we have to be careful because, yes, we are striving for perfection. We want to be perfect as Yah is perfect because we're commanded to be that way. And when we fall short of a goal, then, yeah, we want to assess that, see what went wrong, and see what we need to do to improve on it for next time that situation comes up. But then there's that person that if it's not absolutely perfect, then they are a failure rather than learning the lesson from what went wrong. You know, the Most High knows us, and he knows if we are intentionally trying to do something wrong. We know something is wrong, and we are intentionally going to do it. He knows it. He also knows when we are trying and that we are working toward a goal of something. So maybe we didn't get it absolutely right this time, or maybe for 10 or 20 times, because maybe that particular thing is hard for us. It depends upon what it is. But then every time that it happens, we assess. You know, I was trying to do X, and in the plan of X, step 7, you know, just went wrong. Why did that go wrong? I mean, do we think those things out that way? If we are trying to improve on something, the only way that you can improve on something is that you really actually do a critical assessment of it. This is what I was trying to do. This is the steps I was going to do. This is what step things didn't seem to work in. What happened to cause that not to work in that step? What could I do different to get a different outcome? Because you know what they say about the definition of insanity. Insanity is doing the same thing and expecting a different outcome. So you have to look at it and assess it and say, oh, well, maybe I won't use the word fail, but maybe I'll use the word retry. I'll retry this again another way instead of saying, well, I failed. Because the connotation of failure is negative. But if you are positive, you say, okay, I'm going to retry that again, but I'm going to retry it, and I'm going to do it differently this time. So it's all in the way that we sell it to ourselves, the words that we use within ourselves. Okay, let's keep going. So let's review that real quick. You don't want to be filtering, only taking out, you know, filter out all the good things and only hold to the bad things. You don't want to take it personal, where every time something happens, it's your fault. If you're dealing with people that every time something happens, it's your fault, then more than likely they're really blaming themselves, but they need an outlet, so they use you because you're convenient. It's probably a type of person, too, that you want to not hang out with too much, because it's always your fault. And you can't be wrong all the time. Do we mess up? Yeah, sure we do. Every one of us. We might say something we're not supposed to say. We might do something we're not supposed to do or do it in a way we're not supposed to do it in accordance with that person. But we're not wrong all the time. So when we deal with somebody that we're always the one at fault, then we might want to say, okay, I need a change of environment, or I need a change of a friend, or whatever that is. If it's your spouse, you know, y'all might have to really seriously sit down and say, hey, I'm not always at fault. And that, you know, that can be a hard one to live through, to deal with, especially if they don't want to change. But then you have to find a way to make it positive on your end. Because what, you know, when we get into those circles, those ruts, you know, sometimes we can have one of our feet nailed to the floor. Just imagine this, one of your feet, your shoe is nailed to the floor, one of them is nailed to the floor. You stick your foot in there, and you stick your foot in the other one, and you try to walk. The one foot ain't going to move because it's nailed to the floor. The other one, you step out, but then you end up just going around in a what? Circle. And if you stay that way, then what you'll end up doing is getting into a rut. You'll go around in that circle for so long that it become a rut. And sometimes we don't know how to get out of that rut. And so we have to change, in this case, our shoe. But that shoe could represent our attitude. It could represent that person in our life. It could represent the way that we think about other people or ourselves. And it causes us to be in that rut. And so then we have to, typically for something like that, we need a change, or we need a positive change. So we can't change and continue doing we can't change, let's say, location or a person, because we were with that person for a reason. Maybe it's something about ourselves we need to change. Or else we just get back into the same old rut. So we have to self-assess. Is this something that I was doing? How did I contribute to that? What can I do to change that in a positive way? So we want to take a look at those things. Let's continue. Focusing on positive thinking. Now, believe it or not, you can learn to turn negative thinking into positive thinking. The process is simple. It takes time and practice. It means that you got to be willing to look at yourself. And you got to be willing to make a change for the positive. So how do we identify areas of change? Give me a hot second here. All right, so if you want to become more optimistic, more positive, and engage in more positive thinking, first identify areas in your life that are usually you think negative about. Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it is your job. Maybe it's the way that the house is. Whatever it is that's in your life that causes you to think, have negative thoughts, start small. Focus on an area to approach in a more positive way. Check yourself. Periodically during the day, you know, a few times during the day, stop and evaluate what you're thinking. How am I thinking in this situation? Are my thoughts right now, this morning, have they been positive or have they been negative or have they just been neutral? If you find that your thoughts have been negative, try to find a way to put them in a positive spin on them. In other words, you got to start retraining yourself not to think in a negative light. Be open to humor. I'm going to say be open to certain humor. Because, you know, a lot of times humor comes at the cost of somebody else. Humor comes at the cost of someone else. So when we're being, you know, there are good jokes and there's good humorous things that can be funny and not be at somebody's expense. Give yourself permission to smile or laugh, especially during difficult times. Seek humor in everyday happenings. You know, you see something somebody just did something that was weird, but it gives you an opportunity to laugh. But we don't have to be so serious. And so I say this. We don't want to be joking and laughing all the time, but sometimes you need a stress relief. And laughing is a good medicine for that. You know, laugh at your situation. Find the humor in it. You know, it's funny how I always let this joker do this to me. And instead of taking it in a negative, sort of turn it into some humor so that you can laugh at it. So that it doesn't be stressing you out, making you sick. That's what, you know, I have to bring this up at this point because it just came to my mind, but that's what forgiveness is for. Because, see, typically, when somebody does something to hurt us, we're the ones hurt, and they usually are gone about their business. They care less how it affected you. And you're the one stuck, nothing positive, where every time you hear their voice, you go to a place, whatever that place is, but it ain't good. All because they hurt you or they offended you. In the meantime, they're gone about their business. And the one that's being negative is you. Because you're caught up in your feelings, you're caught up in your hurt. But if you forgive that person for whatever it is that they did to you, then now you take back that power. I'm not going to let you affect me that way. I'm not going to let you upset me like that. I'm not going to let you make me feel ill-willed, downright hateful towards you. I'm going to take back that power. I forgive you for what you did. And I'm not going to let it upset me anymore. That don't mean that you forgot. You're just not going to let it affect you the same way anymore. So that you're not becoming negative. But you are now treating the situation, okay, you got over on me that time. It's all good. I'm going to let it go. I ain't going to let you upset me no more. So forgiveness, you know, and then following a healthy lifestyle. It's good to get out and go walk. Walk some of the stress of the day off. Look at nature. Look at the works of the Most High. What's left of it. I remember as a kid, birds were just way more abundant where I lived at than I see now. I see birds every now and again. You know, take a walk through the woods or whatever it is that, you know, puts you at peace. Surround yourself with positive people. You want them to be godly. But you also want them to be positive. You know, if we're all the time looking for what the world is doing to us as a people, it'd be very depressing to become very negative. And once we're in that funk, in that state of mind, then it's hard to get out of that because it becomes habitual. It's the thing that we see. And so we have to change that by changing, you know, sometimes the people around us. They are just too negative. Our friends. We want to get around people who are speaking positive things, doing positive things. Practice speaking positive. How do you do that? Don't say anything to somebody else that you wouldn't want them saying to you. Good morning. How are you? How was your evening? Now, if they start going off into they had a bad evening, I don't think you want to be rude and just say, you know, I don't want to hear that. But give them some type of way to look at their evening in a positive way. If it's your evening that was negative, and somebody tries to cheer you up and give you a way to look at it positive, then try to take the positive. Because you want to change your mentality. You want to change your heart. You want to change what you're feeling. So that even when you pray, you know, if you are in a negative state when you pray, it's hard to pray positive. Because we're really not going to mean it if we are really wishing some ill on somebody, and then we want to turn around and say, oh, but yeah, I blessed them. How did you really mean that? Just a thought ago, you was hoping that something ill happened to them because they have done whatever. And then you go to pray for them. I don't know if we can count on the sincerity of that prayer. And it's important that we put positive people in front of us. Somebody with a smile on their face. You know, and it helps that if we are trying to live the same life. You know, because they got people in the world that can put a smile on your face. But then we also have to know, too, we have to be looking at, they may say something that we really shouldn't be hearing. So putting positive thinking into practice. If you are negative and somebody says, I want you to try this, your first thought out of your mind or the first thought in your head, but probably first words out of your mouth is, I've never done it before. Instead of looking at it as it's an opportunity to learn something new. You might say it's too complicated. If you're positively thinking, you'll say, let me look at it from a different angle. Maybe I can do this if I look at it a different way. I don't have the resources to do it. Necessity is the mother of invention. Let me see if there's something I got around here to try to do that. You know, when you have to have something done and you don't have the resources for it, we typically try to find a way to make it happen. Well, let me put this and this together. Let me see if I can make this work. But I need to get this. But if we are negatively thinking, we'll just say, I don't have the resources to do it. It can't get done. Self thought. I'm too lazy to get this done. That would be a negative thought. Positive thinking would say, I wasn't able to fit it into my schedule. But I can reexamine some priorities. I'm going to find a way to get it done. There's no way it will work. There's always a way to skin a cat. I can try to make it work. Again, I'll look at it a different way. I'll try to make this happen. It's too radical a change. You know, when we talk about keeping the statutes, laws, and the commandments of the Most High, if you ain't never been keeping them, it's a radical change. But if we are positive, and we say, I'll take a chance, or I'm going to try to do whatever I have to do to make that happen, I'll get there. But not that I can't do it or I won't do it. You're dealing with people. And it always seems like you're the last one to know something, or you don't even ever find out. Something's happening. You find out after the fact. And so you start getting the attitude that no one bothers to communicate with me. Nobody bothers to tell me anything. You can flip that around and say, I'll see if I can open up the channels of communication. Let me go to them and see, what do I need to do to be included in what's going on, so I know what's happening. I'm not going to get any better at this. That's self-defeatist. That's, you've given up on that particular task. Maybe not on everything, but on that particular task, you've given up. I'm not going to get any better at this. Or you can flip it around and say, I'll give it another try. Again, maybe from the lens that I'm looking at it through. Maybe if I try to do it another way, it'll work out, because the way I'm doing it is not working right now. But I'll make it work. When it comes to things in our lives, we have to look for ways to make things happen, and those typically start with our attitude toward it. Anything that we want to do, we always come with a positive attitude toward it. Anything we don't really want to do, we don't believe in, we got doubt about it, we come with a negative, which reflects what our real attitude is. I don't really want to do this. When it comes to kingdom work, kingdom building, a lot of this stuff most of us have never done. And we may doubt if we can do it. But we have been given a command, a commission by Elohim to do the work. So we don't want to find, we don't want to come up with excuses or ways not to get it done. We want to look and be positive and understand that we have the mouth, we have the power of our mouth. But what's going to come out of your mouth is typically what's in your heart. So as concerning the kingdom and kingdom business, we want to all be positive about what it is that the Most High is asking us to do, not even asking us, what he's told us to do. Kingdom building. It wasn't a suggestion. It wasn't a request. It is a commandment. And if we are under commandment, we ought to be happy about what we're doing. We ought to be joyful about it. Have a positive attitude. And not trying to figure out ways how we can't do, but figuring out ways how we can do. Right now, I don't know how we can do that, but let me think about it a minute. I'm sure there's a way to get this done. And if I don't know, let me call somebody that has a different perspective than I do. Maybe the lens that I'm looking through doesn't allow me to see it where I can make it happen. But if I talk to somebody else who maybe have a little bit different perspective, they can put a positive spin on this where I can see it and get it done. So we are told in the scriptures to look at everything in a positive light. And even when it's tribulation, to look at it in a positive light. It's coming to do something to help you. Maybe you need more patience. And that's why you keep getting the same person that just gets on your nerves. But maybe if you approach them in a different way, in a more positive way, might cause them to change the way that they're reacting towards you. So we got to practice this all the time. Remember, you may not see it manifest. You may say something and never see the end result of your words. But somebody died, and you didn't know it. And so maybe it doesn't affect you until 3 or 4 weeks later, 3 or 4 months later, you find out that they died, and the last words you said to them was this thing that was negative. And we want to have a clear conscience, so we'll say, oh, I had nothing to do with it. But deep down inside, it's going to irk you that that was your last words, and you don't know whether your words caused this to happen or not. Because remember, it's very serious that we understand this, that we have the power of life and death in our tongue. And so it matters what we say and to whom we say it and when we say it and how serious it is when we say it. That's why when he says don't be laughing and joking, don't be jesting, because you might say something that you didn't really mean. You said it in the heat of the moment, but you didn't really mean it. But it manifests. Let's continue. Let's go to the book of Mark, chapter 9. Let's get verse 24. The book of Mark, chapter 9, verse 24. So see, one of the biggest enemies of positive thinking and being positive is unbelief. Here is a man that has brought his child to Mashiach's disciples, and he's got this kind of unclean spirit in him that don't just come out by commandment. It also takes that you have faith in your life and belief in your life, and that you, when you speak to this thing, you understand the authority that you have over it, so that when you say something, it don't look at you like you're really foo-foo. Oh, you ain't got no power at all. You don't believe what you're saying. I ain't going nowhere. And so Messiah comes, and he sees, there's this commotion. And this man is telling him, hey, I brought my son to your disciples, and he's got this unclean spirit, and they can't cast him out. And so Messiah looks at the situation and says, hey, the problem is not really in your son. It's in you. And so the man says to him, kind of, what you mean? Well, he had brought his son to the disciples, but he himself really didn't believe that they could heal him. And he didn't really believe when Messiah got there that he could actually heal him. And so before Messiah dealt with this child, he had to deal with the man himself. And straightway, the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, Master, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. I can believe this far. Like a couple of inches. But I can't believe this far. Help my unbelief. This is where a lot of us are. We can believe up to a point. But we are not 100% committed. So I can believe that, but I can believe that. I can believe that you can lay hands on my son, but I don't really believe you can heal him. I don't believe you can drive out this demon. I believed enough to bring him, but I don't believe enough that you can actually do something. I'm hoping you can, but I don't really believe it. Help thou my unbelief. Give me greater faith. So when we are praying, we can't operate where? In unbelief. Hard to pray for something that you don't believe in. Hard to. Impossible to. Because you don't believe it. So you know what the most power is. If you ask and you are wavering, you have doubt, you're not going to get what you asked for. So yeah, help my unbelief. Give me the faith to believe that whatever I ask for, believing that you're going to give it to me. Not doubting. Let's go to the book of Matthew, chapter 21. The book of Matthew, chapter 21. And we're going to get verse 21. We're not going to get the whole story. The book of Matthew, chapter 21 and verse 21. Put your finger there and hold it for a hot second. I need to do something real quick. I will be right back.
Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me work upon the waters wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. Upon the waters, the great unknown, where feet may fail, and there I find you in the mystery, and oceans deep, my faith will stay.
All right, the book of Matthew, chapter 21, verse 21, Matthew's 21 and 21 and 22. This is when Messiah is coming upon the fig tree, or has come upon the fig tree the day prior, and he comes to the fig tree, and he doesn't find any figs on it, and he curses the fig tree. And then his disciples asked, when they saw the fig trees, you know, withered up, they were like, how did you do that? You know, the fig tree you cursed yesterday is withered. You know, how'd that happen? Verse 21, and Yeshua answered and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, if you have faith and doubt not, you shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if you shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. So, and all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, verse 22, you shall receive. So the keys here, what works is having faith and believing. And what your prayers and your requests is doubt and unbelieving. Being positive. When you are doubting, you are being negative. So when you don't doubt, then you are putting a positive spin on that prayer. And you're walking in belief. I'm asking this thing, I'm making this request, believing that you're going to do it. And he says, if you believe it, all things whatsoever you ask in prayer, believing is positive. Positive thinking, not negative that it's not going to happen, not doubting that he might or might not do it. You are to count this thing already done, believing you shall receive it. Verse 22 again, let's read that again. And all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. He told us in James chapter 1, if you double-minded, if you doubt, if you don't really believe, if you don't have no faith, he says, don't even worry about it. You already know. That prayer ain't going to be answered. So we have to be positive. We're making a request, but we're making that request believing that it is already done. You know, the saints used to say, claim it. And there is some truth to that. But they're always doing it, you know, for things that are not really kingdom related. We want Yah to prosper us. Why? So that we can have more stuff? No, so that we can bless others. Bless us so that we can bless others. Whole different mentality. Bless me so I can go and take it and go to the casino and do what I want to do. No, that's not why we are going to be asking Yah to bless us, to give us favor. It's hard to bless someone when you're not blessed. And the greater that Yah blesses us, the greater we can bless others, the greater the work we can do. So we want to ask what? Believing. Not without doubt. The world is going to become a crazier place. We don't see it yet, but it's coming. And we want to be prepared. And we want Yah to be working on our behalf. So we need to be making our petitions known. We need to be preparing ahead of time. You know, let those last minute preparations, because we forgot about this, we forgot about that, or we didn't even think about whatever. But we want to be going for the Most High, and what we're asking for, we're believing that we're going to receive it. Not without doubt. Thinking positive thoughts. Yah is going to do this. And if you need whatever you need in your life to help you in your walk and to help you, to help the kingdom grow, to do the work that is assigned to you, bring it tomorrow. Let's heave it up before the Most High, believing what we are asking for he's going to do so that we can receive it. So to Matthew chapter 9, Matthew chapter 17. The book of Matthew, chapter 17. So one of the things that we definitely, that will kill positive thought is what? Doubt. That stems from unbelief. So we want to get that thing out of our mind. The book of Matthew, chapter 17, let's get verses 19 and 20. Again, this is where Messiah is casting out, or his disciples have tried to cast out an unclean spirit, and they couldn't do it. Then came the disciples to Yeshua apart and said, "Why could not we cast him out?" And Yeshua said unto them, "Because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as the grain of a mustard seed," a mustard seed is like really tiny. If you didn't know you were holding it, you know, it could be in your hand and a little spot on your hand, and you just looked it off and not even known it was there. That's how small a mustard seed is. "You shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you." Why is the impossible for us? Because of our unbelief. We don't really believe that whatever we're asking for, he's able to do it, that we're able to receive it. But what I'm asking of each of you, that we put the doubt away, that we put the unbelief away, that it hinders not our prayers, that you start to look for great things from Yah. Don't make your request what you can believe. Make your request so that it increases your faith, believing that Yah is going to do it for you, that he's going to give us what we ask for. If we're asking for kingdom's sake and we're going to use it for kingdom's sake, he's going to do it for us. So we don't want to ask for things that we can consume upon ourselves. Yeah, I need a new Cadillac. My old hoopty just is on its last leg. I need a new ride. But if you seriously need a new ride, then we can ask Yah for that. And he will provide it. But if it's just because you're tired of your hoopty, we don't want to go with that kind of what nonsense. Remember, the prayer is supposed to be serious, solemn. We are petitioning the Most High, our King. We need this. Now, I want to spend some time this evening, and I want to send everybody a list that I have. Don't know what your list is, but there's some things that I want Yah to do for us. that I want us to heave up to him tomorrow morning. You may not get this list until later on tonight. So I want to make sure that what I'm asking for, that we absolutely need it for kingdom building in this coming year, to do the work that's assigned. So again, what did Messiah say? You couldn't do this because of your unbelief. We have much work that needs to be done, and we need much. And we don't have to have it ourselves. Our Elohim has it. I want you to have this in your mind with this understanding. We don't personally have to ask for what we are asking for. Matter of fact, I know we don't have it. So Elohim has to give it to us. I want you to agree and believe with me that he's going to give it to us. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. The book of 2 Corinthians chapter 9. In verse 6. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. What is Most High saying to us there? You can't beat him giving. And if you want to do work for the kingdom, and this is not for you to get rich, then whatever you sow, the Most High is going to give it back to you, but he's going to give it back to you more bountifully than what you gave, if it's your own personal. Why? So that you can bless again more bountifully. Can't give what you don't have. The Most High don't want you, putting yourself in a situation to where now you're worried about how you're going to pay your house note or how you're going to pay your car note. That's not what's being asked here. But he's telling you that whatever you put in your heart, whatever you purpose in your heart to give, to sow, that he's going to bless you and give it back to you so you can do it again. A lot of us can't receive because we won't do right if we get it. I want us to think about that. What would you do if you had the capability? What would you do for Yah? What would you do for his kingdom? I want you to consider that. I want you to think about that. And what would it take to do that? Can you ask for that believing that you're going to get it? For kingdom's sake. So just think about that. Remember, we are going before our Father, our King, our Provider, ruler of the heavens and the earth, storehouses that we can't even imagine. And if we do it for kingdom's sake, I know that he will provide it. He will give it. We just have to have a pure heart about it. and believe. Galatians chapter 6 again. The book of Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 and 8. Because again, I want to reiterate this. We don't want to come at this with the wrong mentality. The Most High is not our piggy bank that we want to tap so that we can get some funds to do something that ain't got nothing to do with his business. Be not deceived. Elohim is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. That's what we want. We want to reap to the Spirit. What is the will of the Spirit in the world? What is it that you want us to do? Now, if you want us to do whatever that is that he puts in your heart, you need to give me the ability and the way to do it. And ask believing. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Any and everything that we need to do, we can absolutely, positively do them through Christ. And we have to know that nothing happens like that. There's some work involved. Usually when the funds come, that's the deal. If it's funds, then it's the work that still has to be done to go out and get and do. Make all some of us have to work overtime in Yah's kingdom. But we can do all things through Christ, which strengthens us. We have to believe that. Ain't nothing too hard. Acts chapter 1. The book of Acts, chapter 1 and verse 14. And these all continued with one accord in prayer, making solemn what request to the Most High and supplication. And what was our definition for supplication? Humbly with the women and Mary, the mother of Yeshua, and with his brethren. That wasn't a whole lot of people there. At least we don't have a number. We have two women. And we have some brethren. We don't know how many that is. Let's not look at our numbers, how many we are. It don't matter. One of us, and Yah is a majority. 5, 10, 15, 20 of us. We don't add anything to it. We just need to be faithful because Yah is the majority. So let's not look at our numbers. Go to the book of Luke, chapter 8. And this is to drive home another form of what we're sowing. Luke chapter 8, verses 9 through 11. And his disciple asked him, saying, what might this parable mean? Now, this is the parable of the sower. And he said, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of Elohim, but to others in parables, that seeing they might see, and hearing they might not understand. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of Elohim. Now we have a mandate to sow the word of Elohim, but we also have the mandate to take care of the father, the widowless, and the homeless. We have the mandate to build up the kingdom and to take land. We have the mandate to spread the gospel of the kingdom in the world, the gospel of peace. That takes other things that we need to ask for. Can't just sit on our laurels, on our behind, and hope that things get done. So we're going to sow the word. But in sowing the word, we also have to ask the Father for what we need to do the work. What if we need to sow the word in Africa or in Australia or in Russia? That doesn't happen by chance. And so we need to ask for what we need and believing that we're going to receive it. And when we receive it, we need to do what we're supposed to do with it. Now, there are some things that I want to say that I'm not going to say. Why? Because when it's time, then I'll tell you. Some of you guys are going to take you away from what you're doing now. I'm not going to say who, but just trust and believe. Some of y'all is going to take away from what you're doing now. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Starting in verse 10, the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, starting in verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in Yah and in the power of his might. Get it off of you. Be strong in Yah and in the power of his might. He's going to be doing everything. We are going to be his willing vessels. And we're going to believe that he's going to use us to do kingdom work. So I want to ask a question here. Before I ask you one earlier, what I want you to consider. But if Yah made it possible for you to stop doing what you're doing now and not have to worry about your rent, your house note, how you're going to eat, would you go and do the work? Don't care how old you are. Yah is not going to put anything on any of us that we are not able to bear. Food for thought. Let's continue. Finally, my brethren, be strong in Yah in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of Elohim, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers, and the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. This is the battle. And this battle is causing a lot of, the enemy is causing a lot of wickedness, but he's doing it through people. And the kingdom that we are going up against is spiritually possessed by the enemy. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of Elohim, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. See, when we're taking land, we're supposed to be also bringing the people to what? Peace. With who? With the Most High. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of Yah. Understand that this book is the sword, what comes out of your mouth. That's why I said you got to be careful what you say. This word of Yah is the sword that the Spirit of Yah uses. What you speak, what you say, who you say it to, and how you say it. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. There's that prayer and supplication again. Seriously and humbly in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance. That means that perseverance means that you're going to last. You're going to be strong. You're going to endure. And supplication for all saints. And for me that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mysteries of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador, and I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. We don't want to hold back this gospel, and we want to speak the truth, and we want to come against all false doctrine. See, there's not a bunch of truths out there. We got men's opinion. There's only one interpreter of the gospel, and that is the Ruach HaKodesh. And if the Ruach is not interpreting, then you are coming of your own understanding. And so we have to be bold with the truth. Go to Book of Philippians, chapter 4. The Book of Philippians, chapter 4, starting in verse 1. And this should be the last place for this evening. Yeah. Verses 1 through 19. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved, and long for my joy and crown, so stand fast in Yah, my dearly beloved. I beseech Eutychus and beseech Synthent, no, I didn't pronounce that right, that they be of the same mind as Yah, as in Yah. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labor with me in the gospel, with Clement, also with other fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life. See, this wasn't always all about the brothers. Sometimes you can't get enough brothers to do right. And Yah will use the women. And I entreat thee also, rejoice in Yah always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. And Yah is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, key words, and with thanksgiving let your request be made known unto Elohim. In other words, we need to be asking, and you women need to be asking. And the peace of Elohim, which passes all understanding, so keep your hearts and mind through Yeshua HaMashiach. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, and whatsoever things are honest, and whatsoever things are just, and whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, and if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things, on the positive, not the negative. People are going to say things to you. You're going to have thoughts. Is this brother crazy? You're going to have those thoughts. But trust and believe that I'm here to do the work. Think on those positive things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do again wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. The opportunities are going to come. Not that I speak in respect of one. But he's saying, hey, we need the stuff to do the work. And he's saying, I'm not asking you because I need or because I want. For I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. But I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. We have to believe that. Notwithstanding, you have well done that you did communicate with my affliction. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica, yet sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desired a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound, and I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to Elohim. But my Elohim shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus or Yeshua HaMashiach. So understand and know, whatever we need, whatever you give, Yah is going to give it back to you in abundance. We want to go and we want to ask for things concerning the kingdom and believing that he is going to give it to us. And when he gives it to you, you got to be of the mindset to give also. For the kingdom's sake, for kingdom building. So as I said, tonight, later on tonight, you'll probably receive it. Sometime I need to go before the Most High, but I want to ask for those things that we can agree upon. And if it looks crazy to you, I want you to understand, I still want you to agree, because you may not be able to see it. But we need to agree together. And that we're going to do this thing. The time is drawing up. And in my spirit, I really do feel that there's some changes that are going to come real quick, and they're not going to be good changes in this world. And I want to make sure that what Yah has put into my spirit, that I act upon it, that I don't procrastinate on it. So as we can see, I want Yah to bless you. I want you to be in a place where you're able to help and it's not going to hurt you. And for that to happen, Yah has to bless you. So we want to be positive. We want to know that what we ask for, we're going to receive. We don't want to have doubt. We don't want to be double-minded. We don't want to hinder the work of Yah by our unbelief. So we want to be able to say it and believe it and count it as done. Count it as being done. Our Elohim will provide. So I thank you, my brothers and my sisters, for your time. Wherever you're listening at in the world, if you do the heave offering, if you've already done it, then that's okay. If you do it tomorrow morning, I want you to believe that what we heave, that we give thanks for, we're going to give thanks for some things we have not received yet, but we're going to give thanks for them as though we already have, knowing that Yah will provide it to us. This is going to be a busy year. So I'm just letting you know right now, it's going to be a busy year. I'm already busy, and Yah's going to change some things in my life. And I'm counting on it. So with that being said, let us bow our heads. Turn toward the east, holy hands to the Most High Elohim. Father Yah, we know that your word is true. We trust in it. We believe in it. We live on it. We bury it within our hearts, Father. And we are going to come before you, Father, asking to do some things that have not yet manifest. But we know that you will and are able to do so. And Father, we are going to ask these things for kingdom's sake, that we might be prepared for your people. Father, hear our supplication. Hear our prayers. Anoint each and every person on this call to do the work in the kingdom, Father. To ask, believing, and knowing that you're going to do whatever it is that they ask. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen. So tomorrow morning, 10 o'clock a.m., we will come together. We won't be long. We won't be spending a couple of hours. We're going to take care of business. Come before the Most High. Bring yourself. Bring your faith. Bring your belief. Because we have work to do. And we can't keep playing around with it. And just understand, with one, Yah has put 10,000 to flight, or 1,000. With two, 10,000. What can he do with 5, 10, or 15? He is our strength, and he is our buckler. He is our supplier. Now, Yah, as we go our separate ways tonight, give each and every person peace of mind. Give them joy, Father. If there be any doubt, if there be any unbelief, Yah, help thou their unbelief. Strengthen them that they may believe. That they may believe you 100% to the max, that they might believe the words. In totality, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Encamp your angels around them. Keep them safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And until we meet again, my brothers and my sisters, I love you, but know and believe that Yah loves you more. Shalom.
Without you, there's no me. I need a